There we go. Things are working like a champ. All right. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 64. We are moving right along. Revelation 5, verse 5 and 6. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And let's read now the King James. Remember, it's not four beasts. It's four living creatures, which represented kingship and the 24 elders, the priesthood. It's over and over to remember these things. So here we are, and you remember this scene in chapter 5 that John sees the one on the throne and the seven-sealed book written within on the backside, and no man was able to open the book. And John, the search was made in heaven, in earth, under the earth. No one was found worthy to open the book. John began to weep, and this elder came to the weeping John and said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. Look at this. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals. So when John turned to see, what did John have a right to see when he turned? If I told you, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and look and see, what would you expect to see? A lion. If I said, look at a mountain, I pointed over here, look at this mountain, and you'd say, and you turn over there and you don't see the mountain, you see a river, and you'd say, what are you crazy? You tell me to turn and look at a mountain, I see a river. There's no mountain there. So are you calling a mountain a river? In Revelation, it's symbolic language. So such a change in symbols is supreme importance. John was told to behold a lion, but when he looked, when he beheld, he saw a lamb. So what's the explanation? Now remember, John is in the Spirit here. So John understood by the Spirit, as also we must do, if we're going to understand this and see. Now naturally so, a lion is noble, majestic, kingly animal, strong, courageous, king of the jungle, fierce, no other animal can stand before him. Now, this is the image we're called to contemplate. Here in John's vision, describing the character and the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ in connection with what? The loosening of the seals of this scroll. And the cleansing of our earth from all enemies. It's the king of beasts. The king of the jungle, who typically represents the king of kings in his triumph over all things. The one who's able to accomplish so mighty a work within us is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is Christ the King. Remember when Jacob blessed his sons? He prophesied Judah would be a lion. Remember that? He said, in whom his brother should praise, in whose hand should be the neck of his enemies, and before whom his brothers would bow. And what he spoke to Judah indicated Judah's warlike, victorious energy that would later be demonstrated in that tribe. David was of the tribe of Judah. David was this lion nature on display. Let's look at Psalm here. Psalms 18, verse 37 through 42. I have pursued my enemies and overtake them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Now think of the aggression here. I mean, when you read this, I pursued my enemies, meaning the enemies was on the run. Somebody's going to chase them down. And he says, I didn't stop till I got them and I consumed them. I mean, this is just warlike stuff. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as dirt in the streets. Man, what a psalm is that? Now, that was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus, no doubt. The volume of the books written of him. The mighty lion warrior here. And the scripture tells us back in Revelation, he's the root of David. Root, ancestor, father, and offspring. It's an amazing thing. Or descendant. He's the son of David. Remember, they called him son of David. Have mercy on me. You ever wonder in scriptures why David? Why did they call him son of David? Why did they never call him son of Abraham? They never called him son of Moses. They never called him son of Jacob. Son of David. Because David is this representative of royalty. Moses, who does Moses represent? Law. Abraham's the steward of the promise. You could go on and on. David is this king, this mighty warrior that pursues his enemies, breaks them, grinds them to powder, and throws them in his dirt in the street. Here we're viewing the authority and dominion, majesty of the throne. Because remember, that's where the scene takes place, the throne. Christ is both the root and the offspring of David, of the royalty of God raised up in his kings and his priests who are the sons of God. He's the might and majesty of the tribe of Judah and the honor and the glory of the house of David. Now, the elder here who comes to John, who knew the awesome power of God's Christ, took the strongest objects that you could think of in the, we'll call them the vegetable and the animal kingdom, to represent his power. What did he use? A root. I mean, and the lion. I mean, Jesus talks about the root. I mean, massive rocks are busted in two by roots, torn apart. And roots are noiseless. They don't do anything. They hold mighty trees in place. Hidden beneath the soil, its power is mighty. And this is the one from whom King David derived his great power of warfare. And in like manner, the power of the root of David, hidden in the heart and the spirit of man, can break the strongest bands of carnality and flesh and sin and death. Can break it. Remember Jesus' parable of the sower. He talks about those who had what? No root. No root in themselves. And when they had no root, they weren't able to endure tribulation. Now the root of David bears the tree of righteousness, and none can be trees of righteousness who don't have this holy root in the soul of their heart. When we can get this picture, you know, it's all in the scriptures, you know, you're a garden and, you know, all the stuff, Christ in you. And, when we can see this book of Revelation, we begin to see. Now, the root of David produces the character of David within every son of God, the might and the overcoming power of Christ in his kingship. It's what it produces. I mean, you know, Jesus said, abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Abide in me. I mean, and what do the branches do? They just receive the life that's coming up from where? Through the root. And they can't do nothing else but produce whatever that life is. I mean, you know, that sap, that root that's coming up in there, if it's an apple, guess what the fruit's going to be? It's going to be an apple. But yet here, and here's the odd thing in this scene here, the lion is a lamb. Now, what does that mean? For he conquers not by brute force, but by the power of his poured out life. John saw that the only way to this power was the way of sacrificial love. That's ultimately the only power in the universe. You know, every time when love is described, you know, God, what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. You know, God never said, I love you. I mean, you go read the Bible, it doesn't say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. He showed it. And then what did Jesus tell his disciples? Love me even as I've loved you. What manner is that? And gave my life for you. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? And gave himself.